Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In the earliest church, there is a controversy. It has to do with several things: false teaching and the Gentile problem, so to speak. Some were under the impression in the early church that Gentiles didn't need to hear the gospel because they were not the recipients of the gospel. It was only for those who were ethnically Jews, and the symbol of that would be circumcision. Well, the church dealt with this not only in a debate, but actually in issuing a decree about Gentiles in the church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Pastor Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why was the conversion of Gentiles considered a problem by some in the early church?
We need to remember that the chosen people in the Old Testament were the Jews, and many of them really did not think much of the Gentiles at all. In fact, they were so impressed with the necessity of following the Old Testament laws that in chapter 15, which is part of the Sunday school lesson, verse 1, there were men who came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers in these cities, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so they were making it very clear that you really needed to follow the teachings of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Recall the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, thanking God he's not like a tax collector. And then he says, I'm going to be saved, because what is he doing? He's not following the moral laws. He doesn't mention that. He's following the ceremonial laws, namely, I give a tithe, I fast, and this sort of thing. So among the Jews, there was a real problem. And even after the resurrection of Jesus, Paul had to reprimand Peter, because when Jews came from Jerusalem to where they were, Peter did not want to eat with both the Jews and the Gentiles, because he thought that offended the Jews. And therefore, Paul had to reprimand him for that. So even after the resurrection, Peter got caught up in that thinking.
What problematic things were certain men from Judea teaching in Antioch there in Acts 15?
What they were teaching is, as I indicated, that you cannot be saved unless you get circumcised. Now, there's no doubt that that was a law of God, but the Bible makes very clear the distinction between moral laws, civil laws, and ceremonial laws. The ceremonial laws are no longer with us because Jesus has fulfilled the law perfectly, and therefore the ceremonial laws of not eating certain kinds of meat, that went out the window when Peter had this vision on a rooftop of unclean food coming down, and Jesus said to him, what I have declared clean, do not consider unclean. And then he was told to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And he went there and preached not only to Cornelius, but his family and friends, and many of them were converted. And so therefore, God was making a point that it's not important that you are able to obey the commandments, because you are not saved by obedience to the commandments. In fact, the Bible verse used by enduring faith is Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that works don't save you. Every other religion, there's some kind of work you must do in order to be saved.
How did Paul and Barnabas respond to the teachings of these Judean interlopers in Antioch?
Well, while they were there, there was a big discussion, arguments, and they had a debate with them. Remember, Paul talks about that after he was converted on the road to Damascus, immediately after his baptism, he went into the synagogues, and the Bible says, and he was able to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And I'm sure he did it the same way that Jesus taught to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, showing how the Old Testament prophecies had all been fulfilled by this Jesus of Nazareth, and therefore Paul concluded he is Lord, and therefore changed his whole views against persecution against the Christians, and instead became a member of the Holy Christian Church.
On their way to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. What was the response of believers there to the conversion of Gentiles?
Yes, these apostles never went anywhere without trying to give the message of law and gospel. And so as they were passing through Phoenicia and Samaria in verse 3 of chapter 15, they began to describe to the Jews there the conversion of the Gentiles. And that conversion occurred when they were preached to and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in tongues, etc. And what was the reaction of the Jewish Christians? It says they brought great joy to all those with whom they were speaking, men and women. So already, before they got to Jerusalem to deal with the council of elders, they already had great joy coming from other Jews when they heard that the Gentiles were also part of the Holy Christian Church.
What did Peter say to the Jerusalem council?
Yes, when he got there, he says, in light of the fact that some of the Pharisees says it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. And then what Peter did, he said, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In other words, Peter heard that indeed Paul was going to be apostle to the Gentiles, and that's why he was converted on the road to Damascus. And immediately he doesn't give credit to Paul, but credit to Jesus. God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. So Peter is making the point that, boy, if these Gentiles are that different, they would not have been cleansed. And they were cleansed. Remember, Peter's probably remembering about the unclean food on the roof. And he even says they were having their hearts cleansed by faith, not by obedience. They didn't merit heaven. They were inheriting heaven. And so therefore he says, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers were able to carry out and we are not able to carry out? Instead, we believe that we will be saved not through works, but through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Gentiles will be saved. And that was the message that Peter gave to the elders in Jerusalem.
Why were the many miracles and wonders that God had worked through Paul and Barnabas among the Gentiles important to the council?
They were important because they came to understand that the way that they had been converted, and it wasn't by their choice, it was by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just go back to Pentecost, where thousands of people were converted by hearing the message there also of Peter. And when they asked him, what can we do to be saved? Well, Peter didn't tell them what they could do. He told them what God was going to do, namely be baptized. That's a passive, something that happens to you. And guess what? You will receive not only the gift of the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was a miracle. And now Paul and Barnabas are saying that that is also happening among the Gentiles. And therefore, that was evidence that God also wanted the Gentiles as part of the holy kingdom of God, the holy Christian church.
Who was James, and what did he say to the Jerusalem council?
Yes, the name James occurs five times in the scripture, and we believe that this particular James, because you'll remember that another James the Apostle had been killed by Herod earlier, that this James was a half-brother of Jesus or his brother. And he was therefore the brother of Jesus, became very important in the Jerusalem church. In fact, he became an elder, if not the pastor there. Now, you wonder why at the cross did Jesus therefore turn Mary over to John and not his brother James? Well, if you go back to John chapter 7, verse 5, it's very clear that those who were brothers and sisters of Jesus, which would include James, did not believe the words of Jesus. So at that point, they were not believers. But Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, specifically visited James after his resurrection. And so James is very important as the pastor, and he puts together a letter, and he sends it back to the Jews and the Gentiles where Paul and Barnabas had been, and he tells them that therefore the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by the name of Jesus, that they will be knowing the Lord also. And so James was a real leader among the elders in agreeing with Paul and Peter and Barnabas that it was time for the church to include the Gentiles within their midst.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. What was the message that the council eventually sent out to the entire church? We'll answer that question next.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Tom, what message did the council eventually send out to the church?
Well, they sent it out, and it said very clearly that at first they were listening, and Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And therefore, it seemed good that they send a message to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, etc. And the message was one in which they were told that, yes, we now consider you to be brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, because through faith you have come back into the church, and we therefore ask you just to abstain from things that are of sexual immorality and of things polluted by idols, that which has been strangled, and from blood.
Why did they tell them to abstain from those things?
Yes, when I was younger, I couldn't really figure that out. I thought to myself, well, look, if we're saved by grace through faith, then why are they giving them some commandments? And it wasn't until later, as I went to the seminary, that it became very obvious to me. And in fact, I would do the same thing. We had certain commandments in our church I was at for 28 years. One of them was smoking was not permitted in church meetings. Now, smoking in and of itself is not a sin, but we had had a building committee who had drunk some beer while they were building the other part of the church and done some smoking, and neighbors were kind of upset over that. They were of a reformed nature and felt that smoking was a sin. So what the apostles are saying, and we already saw this, that people were upset when Christians would buy meat that had been offered to idols and eat it. And there was nothing wrong in that, but they were sending an offensive message to Christians who were weak in the faith. And so churches all over the place, one of the other items we did at our church is we would not allow alcoholic beverages in the church, except for communion, but during weddings and this kind of thing. And some people were upset over that, so they just went to another place where they could have alcohol. We weren't opposed to it in the sense it was a sin, but we did not want to offend individuals still weak in the faith who were coming from other denominations where to drink was a sin in and of itself. So there's all kinds of ways in which we Christians do not make full use of our rights so we do not offend others. Now, sexual immorality would be more than an offense. It would be a sin. But other things, strangled and from blood when it was worshiping idols, that would have caused unnecessary and unneeded offense before weak Christians. And so the Gentiles were encouraged not to do that.
Why couldn't the church require circumcision?
They couldn't require it on two grounds. Number one, they could only require morality and that which did not offend individuals. Circumcision, though, was really different, because what has replaced circumcision is baptism. And the Bible is very clear that the new circumcision is baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he's got a section in Scripture where he talks about being a perfect Pharisee, being circumcised, has all kinds of wonderful medals that could have been put on his shirt for being a great part of Judaism. But what did he say about that after he was converted? He said, all of this is rubbish and garbage. And so you did not want to give the impression that you had to do a work of circumcision in order to be saved, because that was no longer necessary under the new covenant which Jesus had established with his death on the cross. And under that new covenant, sins are forgiven, ceremonial laws no longer have to be obeyed, and yet the moral laws are still in place. So the church really couldn't require circumcision in the new covenant simply because it was not only not necessary, but could easily lead to false doctrine.
What does the Apostle Paul have to say about this issue in his other writings?
Well, in his writings, as I noted, he says all of this is rubbish and garbage, and the Bible verse used by enduring faith is written by the Apostle Paul, Romans 3:28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And I always say that the best chapters to read from Paul concerning that we are not saved by obedience to the law is Romans 3 and Galatians 3. You just can't read those and get the impression that the law is going to save us. So Paul is probably writing the greatest theology of the New Testament, like Isaiah wrote the greatest theology in the Old Testament, but he's backed up by the writings of the other apostles, and he does an explanation of it that is clear why God chose him to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to help them to explain that which is really hard to understand, that goes against human reason, but is the Word of God.
Finally, what is the long gospel of this lesson?
Well, the long gospel, this is really pretty simple, and it's really well done by enduring faith, is that the law is that we sin when we think we must do something, however small, in order to be saved. No, we can't even do any good work until after we are totally saved, because a good work is done out of thankfulness to God for totally saving us. It is not done by us in order to become saved. The gospel is the teaching that Jesus has done it all perfectly for me, and I'm never able to obey the law perfectly. And so the words from the cross, "It is finished," is something that Christians need to recognize and stop worrying about whether or not they're good enough to get to heaven, because they are going to heaven because Jesus was good enough to die on the cross, be raised from the dead, and ascend into heaven, where he continues to plead our cause before Almighty God.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
When we return, Dr. John Bombaro joins us for a conversation on virtue signaling and the Christian ethic. Stay tuned.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we mosey along in Amos with Israel has not returned, lament, an evil time, the day of the Lord, and let justice roll down. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And so Jesus ascended into the heavens and began his session, his sitting at the right hand of God. What does ascension mean for the church? Well, if you've ever wondered that question, you need to pick up your copy of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, where you'll hear all about how, by his ascension, he brings gifts to men. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does God really exist?
Aren't all religions the same anyway?
Who is Jesus?
These are just some of the questions people ask. Apologetics Today one-day seminars with Dr. Nancy Almodovar and pastors from local Lutheran churches will teach you how to give a reason for your faith. Come join us on Saturday, May 14th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. For more information or to register, please visit LutheranGirl.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.